Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, brewing and barrel aging craft beer since 1988. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
This is Sound Opinions, and this week, Greg, we are both beyond thrilled to have a musical legend in the studio with us, the great Mavis Staples. You wrote the definitive biography of Mavis Staples. I'll take you there. Mavis Staples, the Staples Singers, and the music that shaped the civil rights movement. A fantastic read, came out in 2014. Who is Mavis Staples?
Well, it's a grand story, Jim. It spans 20th century music and on into the 21st century. It starts with her father, Pop Staples, who grew up on Dockery Farm in Mississippi and learned the blues guitar at the feet of the founder of the blues, of the modern blues anyway, Charlie Patton, combined it with four-part gospel harmonies, moved to Chicago, taught it to his children, including Mavis and her brother and sisters, Purvis, Cleotha, and Yvonne. They became a family band known as the Staples Singers, performing in churches in Chicago beginning in the late 40s, became a national act in 1956 with Uncloudy Day. Mavis went on from there and her family to greatly influence and provide a soundtrack for the civil rights movement in the 60s. They were best friends with Martin Luther King, would often be his opening act at many of his presentations during the marches. In the 70s, enjoyed a huge string of hits, including I'll Take You There. In the 90s, she began reinventing herself as a solo act. Prince produced a couple records for her. In the 2000s, after Pops died, officially ending the Staples Singers, she really rejuvenated her life and career by beginning a strong string of solo albums that includes her latest, Living on a High Note, in 2016. She is in her 70s now and has produced 50 years of relevant
music. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I started, Greg, by asking Mavis if it's true that she began singing at age 11.
11 years old, actually, 11 years old when we first went out to sing.
11's when he went pro.
When we not totally pro, when we went to the first storefront church.
Okay.
You know, we went out of the living room because we started in the living room when I was about 8 years old.
Wow.
And at 11 years old, by the time I was 11 years old, my Aunt Katie lived with us. And she came through the living room one night and heard us rehearsing. And she said, shucks, y'all sound pretty good. I believe I want y'all to sing in my church Sunday.
You know? Big honor.
Oh, in the honor. We were so happy we were going to be singing somewhere other than on the living room floor.
Well, when you say us now, it's you and Cleotha, Yvonne, and Purvis, right?
Yes.
Your brothers and sisters. And Pops?
And Pops.
He played guitar.
Pops played guitar. And Pops was giving us the voices. The voices that he and his sisters and brothers sang when they were in Mississippi. Yeah. You know, that's our sound. Pops Staples. And Katie, you know, she dressed Cleetie and Yvonne and I to go to this church that Sunday. We went to church, we sang it. We sang the very first song Pops taught us. Will the circle be unbroken?
Will the circle be unbroken? By and by, Lord, by and by. There's a home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
What? And we sang that song, and the people were clapping us back. We didn't know what that meant. Mm-hmm. They kept clapping, and someone had to tell us, they want to hear you all again. You got to sing again. So we got up and we sang again. Will the circle be unbroken? Yeah. We had to sing that song 3 times.
Wow.
It was the only song that Pops had taught us all the way through. You know, so Pops says, shucks, y'all, these people like us. We're going home and learn some more songs.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest is history.
By and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord. The sky.
It's an amazing family group. You talked about those harmonies that Pops taught you that he learned growing up on Dockery Farm.
On Dockery Farm.
Now, Dockery Farm is also the birthplace of the blues. Charlie Patton was playing a lot of guitar there, and Pops is also studying Charlie Patton.
You have more time, little bit, taught by man or mother. You have more time, little bit, taught by man or mother.
So he's bringing these gospel voices in with blues guitar, which I don't know, you know, Pops is innovative beyond belief. I think he's one of the great musical minds of the 20th century because
never
he brought those two styles together.
Yeah.
Great guitar player, the way he envisioned those vocals with the family. Did you kind of have a sense that something different, you sounded a little bit different than everybody else, even on the gospel circuit?
You know, I knew we were different, you know. We had our own style. We didn't sound like anybody else, and everyone else would get up and sing it loud and loud, and we'd come, Pops, we'd say, low, low is the way, singing softer, and the harmonies. The harmonies that Pops gave us was what was so unique. You know, he had Cleetie, my older sister, he had Cleetie singing in a minor key. Every singer you see out there, they want to sound like Cleetie. Aretha wanted to beat her baby sister up because she couldn't sound like Cleotha. And the guy, William, with the Pips, he wanted to sound like Cleetie. They would ask me, "How, where are you going? How do you do that?" But Cleetie's voice and Pops' guitar was the staple singers that made the difference from everyone else.
Swing low, sweet.
And then we had a sound, this lady Evelyn Gates, she helped us a lot when we first started making records. Evelyn Gates and the Rope of Staples, I don't know what you and them children are singing. Y'all singing country? You're singing, we hadn't ever heard any country. But for some reason, we were lured over to country. We were pulled into folk. We had a sound, and then when the blues people, when the blues people started calling us to Blues Festival, I asked my father, I said, "Daddy, why are they calling us to these blues festivals? We don't sing no blues." He said, "Mavis, you go back and you listen to our music. You listen good." He said, "You'll hear jazz, blues, gospel, R&B. You'll hear all of that in our sound." So I couldn't, that was it. I had nothing else. I listened, and I said, "He's right." And then that's when I first heard the blues. See, because for years, we sang with our father, singing gospel, and we didn't know Pops was playing the blues on his guitar.
Yeah.
Tell him, now you tell him,
you know, we forget, we think gospel's always been with us. But it was being born here in Chicago, the Reverend Thomas Dorsey.
Yes.
But was there pushback from the Dorsey school of gospel to you guys bringing in all these other elements, blues and country and folk?
Well, Thomas A. Dorsey, you would call his gospel spiritual. Yeah. More spiritual songs, like
very church.
Swing yeah. low and precious Lord, mm-hmm. take my hand. You know, and the gospel, the shouldn't of gospel is upbeat. You know, mm-hmm. When the saints go marching in. You know, mm-hmm. so there were some churches that wouldn't let Sister Mahalia Jackson sing in their pulpits.
Really,
really, she sing. Move on up a little higher.
Yeah.
You know, she and Sister Rosetta Tharpe,
yeah.
they were rock and rollers.
Just as soon as my feet strike Zion, lay down my heavy burden, put on my robe, Lord, in glory and love, sing, Lord, tell my story.
Sister Mahalia Jackson was the greatest. I admire her so much. Mm. You know, Pops used to play these big 78 records. Mm-hmm. And I was a little kid. I'd be in the back room playing with my dolls, and I would hear this. This was the very first lady's voice that I heard. Because he always had the Soul Stir, the Pilgrim Travelers, the Nightingales. And then he had this lady come through, and it moved me on up into the living room where Pops was. Mm. And I said, who is that, Daddy? He said, you like her, don't you, Mae? I said, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And he told me, that's Sister Mahalia Jackson. He would say Sister Mahalia Jackson so much. When I finally met her.
You called her sister.
Mrs. Sister. I said, hello, Mrs. Sister Mahalia Jackson.
Oh, you know? Man.
Yeah, I told her, I said, my name is Mavis, and I sing too. She said, oh, you do, huh? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, I want to hear you sing. Mm. And I said, oh, you'll hear me. I sing loud.
Wonderful love of my God. Jesus.
Divine.
Staple Singers Breakthrough on Cloudy Day. You had tried to make some records before that, and without a lot of success. You were still basically a Chicago-based act.
Mm-hmm.
That song exploded. It became a huge nationwide hit, On Cloudy Day, your version of it. That is a very famous gospel song. I've heard millions of groups do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never heard anyone do a version quite like the Staple Singers did that day, mm-hmm. that arrangement that you had for that song.
Yes.
And your voice, Mavis,
uh-huh.
you were probably, what, 17, 18 when you recorded that song?
I wasn't that old. I was about 13, 14.
You sounded like you were 35. You sounded like a much more mature, like a woman who had lived a little, you know?
Uh-huh. Pops, that was the first time I'd heard On Cloudy Day. When he taught it to us, you know, we sing it down in harmony, and then he said, now, Mavis, you sing it. Well, he told me, and I just said it. Well, oh, mm-hmm. Lord, they tell me now. You know, Vivian Carter, B.J. Reggers, she called Pops one day. She said, Staples, this song is selling like an R&B. We started getting letters, from all over Earth to come and sing. Pops came home one time, he told Mama, he said, oh, sis, I believe me and the children can make a living with this singing. And Mama said, Roebuck, don't you quit your job. He was working at Crane Company, mm-hmm. at construction work. But we would go to places, y'all, and the people would have bet. Because the disc jockey was there. This is little Mavis Staples. This little girl is singing this song. And people would bet there ain't no little girl. Hmm. That's got to be a man or a big fat woman. That's not a little girl. They would actually, we get to the program, Durham, North Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, Memphis, and we would fool them. We know they've been betting. And we sing it down in harmony. And when my part come, Purvis, my brother, he would kind of step up to the mic like he... And
like it was going to be him.
Like it would be him. You would hear all over the world, I told you that wasn't no little girl. I told you. While they were going through that, I'm up to the mic saying, well, oh, well. And man, the place would go crazy. One man come up to me, pointed his finger at me, little old girl, I bet my whole paycheck on you. And Pop said, Pop said, well, you shouldn't be.
Well, 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 oh,
yes, so yes, they tell me.
No, they tell me no.
So yes,
I got a home,
so yes,
got a home,
they tell me.
Beyond the sky.
So yes, they tell
well, well, oh,
yes, so yes, they tell me.
Oh, they tell me.
So yes, they tell me.
Whoa,
yes, so yes,
far, far away.
Yes.
No stone,
yes, so yes,
little stone,
tell me.
Cloud
yes,
so
yes, they tell me.
Well, in a
world,
oh, oh,
oh, oh, they tell me.
Oh, in a world, in a cloud in there.
You know, I've just been blessed. The Lord gifted me with my voice. I don't know a stitch of music. I don't even know what key I sing in. But my voice was always heavy. My voice comes from my mother's side of the family. She and my grandmother, they had strong voices. Mm. And I would get in fights at school. A kid would tell me, "You sound like a boy." You know. That's how I learned how to fight.
I wouldn't cross it, baby.
No, don't tell me that. You're going to get it.
There's a land that's filled with milk and honey and the sun. On the peaceful hills in glory land, in glory land.
After a short break, we'll continue our conversation with Mavis Staples by looking at the Staples Singers' successful years at Stax and Muscle Shoals. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.